ladies and gentlemen.
And I can't help feel like I'm doing this.
You're tuning in
by myself
to the Vinny Eastwood Show.
Everyone's asleep.
Broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated and Fukushima irradiated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island-chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. It's frickin' gorgeous down here, especially when you have copious quantities of corrupt people running all over the place, acting like they ain't doing anything corrupt. That's our parliament in a nutshell, and strangely enough, that's pretty much everybody's parliament in a nutshell today, these days, isn't it? Now, how do you solve these problems? I'm thinking about it like this, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be going to my guest in just a few seconds. It's about dependence. If you are dependent on your government, if you are dependent on your law enforcement, if you are dependent on your health system, then they've got you. Okay? They're the ones with the power. If you, on the other hand, know how to heal yourself, know how to protect yourself, you don't need them anymore, and they lose all power over you because you don't, just because of that fact that you don't need them. Federal authorities are much the same thing. Once you have something in place locally that does the same thing all these feds want, you don't need them anymore. My very special guest today is the fabulous, illustrious, and various other nice adjectives, Sheriff Richard Mack. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate you having me.
Well, I appreciate you coming on, man, because this is something that I've been thinking about a lot lately.
Well, wait. I got to ask you, are you live from the Olympics?
No. I'm in New Zealand.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a different place with a different accent.
It is.
I was just kidding. I knew it was New Zealand.
Of course. Well, could you tell us a little bit about, just for those who don't know, just who you are and what it is you do?
Well, I guess I'm a little bit crazy, but I'm a former sheriff from Arizona. I spent most of my adult life in law enforcement and police work, and then I ran for a political position as sheriff in a small county in southeast Arizona where I'm from, and I had served in law enforcement about 12 years before that, prior to running, and I got elected. And then I was reelected in 1992. I was a very young sheriff at the time. I was the youngest sheriff in the state. Got elected when I was about 35. And I had studied a lot about the law and the Constitution and about the proper role of government and why we even have government and why we need police. And I did an undercover stint as a narcotics officer when I was in law enforcement. And in doing so, it kind of made me ask a lot of questions. And I started asking a lot of questions and started doing my own studies. And I came up with the conclusion that we as police officers and we as government officials do not follow the law. We are required by law to swear an oath of allegiance to our Constitution, and yet there's no evidence that we comply with that oath of office. There's no evidence that shows in any manner that we are concerned about the Bill of Rights, that we're concerned about the individual liberties of the citizens that we work for and are supposed to protect and defend and serve. And so I started talking about that a lot as a police officer. And then when I ran as sheriff, I ran on a platform that I would uphold and defend the Constitution, that I would keep my oath of office, and that I would, as sheriff, yes, enforce the law and try to keep people safe, but that I'd also protect their God-given individual rights. And that's what I tried to do, and that's what I did. And so then the federal government sent in their agents of the BATF, and the BATF now is the one in the middle of the scandal that has done the fast and furious drug gun running to Mexico, and once again proving that government is very criminal in its actions, and yet they get away with it, and President Obama is getting away with it also. And so when the BATF came to our offices and told us that we had to participate in a federal gun control scheme and that if we did not do it, we were subject to arrest, this was the first time in U.S. history such a law ever existed, that they could commandeer the office of sheriff for federal bidding without any negotiation or contract and under the threat of us being arrested. And I was the first sheriff in American history to sue the federal government, and at this time it was the Clinton administration. I was the first sheriff in American history to file a lawsuit against the federal government to win a case at the United States Supreme Court, and all that while I was still sheriff of a small town in southern Arizona.
So a sheriff has an inordinate amount of power when he wants to.
Yeah, if they know and understand their position. The sheriff, the position of sheriff goes way back to old Anglo-Saxon English law that dates back over 1,000 years ago. And the sheriff has always had the same duty, and that is to keep the peace within his jurisdiction, within his county. And so that is the position of the sheriff. And another thing that's unique about the sheriff is that he's not appointed. He's not appointed by the town council or the county manager any other government bureaucracy. He's elected by, for, and of the people. He is the only law enforcement official who is elected by the people. And in America, the power source, the ultimate power in our government is we the people. And those are the first three words of the Constitution. It starts with we the people. And so we bestow all power, not government. We bestow upon government. We give government officials the privilege to serve us and to work for us. And if we don't like what they do, we can get rid of them. And so as sheriff, I sued the federal government, won a case at the United States Supreme Court, and told them, I'm not going to be your little boy. You can't tell me what to do. And what my Supreme Court case emphasizes is that the federal government is not our boss and that we have to follow the law just like everybody else.
Well, that's something that I've found is very interesting, is that the people who write the laws are very rarely the people who enforce them, and the people who enforce them very rarely understand the laws that they're enforcing. It's like there's this giant disconnect of justice and constitutional kind of ruling sort of thing in the United States. Is it born out of ignorance, or is there a real malicious intent on the behalf of federal authorities to subvert states and sovereignty and that kind of thing?
I think it has been a little bit of both. I think more, though, it's been an evolution. I think we have a lot of good people, especially as sheriffs and in local communities. But I think there's been an evolution of thought that the federal government is the supreme authority. And even worse, that the United Nations is the authority over the world or over our country. And that's just absolute balderdash. The United Nations has no authority in the world. They are not an elected body by anybody in America, and yet they're trying to enforce taxation and gun control and all of these other things that destroy the sovereignty of Americans. I do not support the United Nations. I think they are a complete waste of time and money, and that they have been destructive to freedom and peace throughout the world. Switzerland has been the only country that has not allowed the United Nations to take control of their country. Until just about 3 or 4 years ago, they didn't even belong to the United Nations, and there was never one war that Switzerland has ever been involved in. Yet, ever since we've been in the United Nations, America is always at war, always supposedly being the enforcers of the UN edicts. And I'm against all of that, and everyone should be. The United Nations cannot tell America when and when not to go to war. And they have no authority, and we need to take care of ourselves and get the United Nations out of it.
Well, and NATO as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. No question.
What I found really strange and scary is that New Zealand has just been signed up to NATO. Now, Is there a part of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization that has any jurisdiction, or even in, within 10,000 miles of jurisdiction, of the South Pacific? I don't. Where is the South Pacific in relation to the North Atlantic? As far as I know, they're not the same thing. So how can a South Atlantic country become part of it? And it's coming to the point where I'm starting to recognise that any time anybody anywhere is trying to put up a treaty with any sovereign nation or anything like that, it's usually always globalist, scumbag funded and put through, and it just basically destroys your country every time.
Yeah, and I think the history is very clear on that. And I think the entangling alliances that the Founding Fathers warned us against has been fulfilled, and we continue in this country to make the Founding Fathers look so smart and prophetic, because they warned us against gun control and how dangerous it would be and destructive it would be. Yet we think we're smarter now and that we should go ahead and do it. They warned us against a welfare state and forced government charity. And yet we think we're smarter than that, and so, of course, we do it all the time. They warned us against socialism and communism, and yet now we embrace such today. We fought two world wars to stop communism and the spread of communism, and now we embrace it with our own president who's in the White House today. And so there's so many things going wrong in our country, and people have got to wake up that there's a solution to getting all this back. And the solution is state sovereignty and local autonomy and local control. We have got to restore America county by county and state by state, and tell the federal government to get out of our lives, tell the United Nations to get out of our lives, and get back to the fundamental principles of liberty that our country was founded upon. If we don't return, I believe America is doomed. We are now facing an economic crisis worldwide, where that America, I believe, has promoted with the tremendous debt that we have. Our debt in America now exceeds our GDP, which is another way of saying we have more debt than we have wealth. And any time that happens, you're looking at a horrible situation. We have a food supply that is diminishing worldwide, and we have businesses and salaries that are diminishing, and taxes and debt going up and up and up. And we have leadership that says, if we just do more of this, we're going to be okay. That's the kind of insanity that we're dealing with, and I think we're headed for a real catastrophe unless we get back to the principles that our Constitution was founded upon, and we better do it very quickly.
Well, I was thinking about this last night with a friend of mine. How exactly do you take out evil? Because if you're the aggressor, then you become the evil one after the fact. And I was just thinking about it. How do you disarm somebody who's got control over you and make sure that they can't hurt you? And the solution seems to be independence. Because if you are dependent on, say, a federal government or something like that, it means that they have a monopoly of force over you. They can waltz into your town with a SWAT team and take you out, etc. There's nothing that can stop them because they've got more force for them than any individual can garner by themselves. I was thinking it's about restricting the amount of force that authority has access to and giving more responsibility and more independence to the individual citizens. And that way you will have less need for federal government, and there won't be quite as much work to do for local authorities either, because people in the whole will be able to take care of themselves. And it's only in a real crisis scenario where an individual couldn't handle it at all that those kind of authorities would have to be kicked into action.
Well, yeah, and that kind of brings up the point of the horrible shooting that we had in Aurora, Colorado. You know, our leaders and government officials believe that we'll be safer if nobody shoots back. And I find that astonishing. I was in law enforcement 20 years, and I find it astonishing that leaders who've never been in law enforcement especially we'll tell people you're going to be safer if you just call the police or if that you don't arm yourselves. Australia has seen horrible crimes since they have had gun control. England has had horrible gun violence since they have. New York City, Chicago, Detroit, Washington, D.C. all have strict gun control, yet they have the most gun violence anywhere in America. It has not worked. And the bottom line is, I've written a book about this called The Magic of Gun Control. And it's a book that addresses these very issues. There's no magic to gun control. It will not provide peace, safety, or freedom.
Unfortunately, we're coming to break. And, of course, statistically speaking, anybody, you can Google this. Try and find an area of the world where a gun ban legislation was passed where the murder rate either A, didn't skyrocket, or the general population of that country, if they're disarmed by the government, is subsequently exterminated. You can't find it. You either get an increased murder rate or an increased extermination rate with gun bans. Don't ban them. We'll be right back, folks. And live from New Zealand, one of the most interesting places. You know what's different about America and New Zealand? In America, if somebody busts into your house with a gun and tries to kill you or rape you, if you shoot them, it's called self-defense. In New Zealand, if you get busted into your house as somebody with a gun and tries to rape and kill you and you shoot them, it's called murder, and you go to jail defending yourself. And you know what's funny? It's kind of like government, right? It's the whole "what are you going to do about it, boy?" boss hog mentality. And what you say if you're an American who has understanding of the Second Amendment, that it's the teeth of the Constitution. Without the Second Amendment, there ain't nothing to enforce it, because he can just come up to you and say, "What are you going to do about it?" If you don't have a Second Amendment, you can't say, "Well, sir, I can blow your head off. Now get the fuck off my property." To which they'll reply, "Really? You can defend yourself? Well, shoot, son, I'd best go find myself an unarmed victim. Good day, sir. I'm off to New Zealand, where it's illegal to shoot in self-defense."
Right, that's really what they're trying to make us do here. In my book, the Magic of Gun Control, I talk about a man from England who did just that. He happened to have permission to have a shotgun for hunting, and it took him years and years to get that. But some kids, I guess some thugs, broke into his home and were about to beat him up with a tire iron, and he grabbed the shotgun and shot both of them. Well, one lived and one didn't. And then he was sentenced to life in prison, literally just for defending himself. And I guess the government wants you to die, and they'll investigate it afterwards and say, it's too bad. It's too bad he had to die. We should have more police, you know. The only way that could save somebody if there was a police in your home. And we just had a story from a lady in, where was she? Oh, my goodness, I can't remember the state now. I think it was California. Yes, it was. It was Orange County, California. And this story just came out on Fox News. I saw it this morning. She owns a jewelry store. And she was in the back, and she saw five guys break into the store. They started to rob the place. She grabbed her pistol and started shooting. And guess what? All five of them did. All five of these thugs ran out the building as fast as they could, hollering and screaming and crying for their mothers. No one died. She was not successful in shooting them, but she was successful in preventing an armed robbery and maybe getting other people hurt that were in her store at the time shopping. She saved herself, she saved her business, and she prevented a very serious crime. This is exactly why Americans and all people throughout the world should be allowed to own and keep guns. We defend ourselves, There was no police officer near the area to prevent this, and she was on her own. She knew she was on her own. This is a state that it's very difficult to get a gun, but she did, and she came out safe and sound. She protected herself and her property, and you won't see this on the national news. Fox News covered it, but you won't see it on NBC. You won't see it on CBS. There's a film of the whole thing because of the security camera she had inside her store, but you won't see that on CBS or ABC or NBC because these media outlets want to support the disarming of America. Let me tell you one other thing. Everybody listening can get my book, and you'll see that there's something that I say in the book that I'll tell you right now. Gun control in America is against the law. Period. End of story. The supreme law of the land, our Constitution, prohibits. It is unlawful to initiate gun control. And yet we have so many criminals in government, mayors and presidents and representatives of the people, who don't know and understand the law. And let me reiterate, gun control in the United States of America is against the law.
What, like literally against the law? Because the UN's got this new, this new gun ban treaty, right? I wanted to hear what your take is on this. I mean, I've heard people screaming and raving about it all over talk radio, but I don't know what the parameters are or how the UN plans to ban small arms and things of that nature.
Yeah, well, the United Nations, as I mentioned earlier, has no authority in America, has no authority in New Zealand, only if we allow them to. The best possible recourse we would have is to get out of the United Nations and tell them to get out of the United States. They are not a friend of America. We, actually, America, pays 22% of all the dues paid into the United Nations, and yet the nations there vote against America 78% of the time. And the only country that sides with us every now and again is England and Israel, and I'm sure New Zealand does to some extent. But to the countries that we pay most of the money to, they vote against us 78% of the time at the United Nations. It is a complete counterproductive thing to America, and we should not be in it. And if you look at all the times that we went to war because the United Nations asked us to, it even gets more ludicrous. So, yes, in the supreme law of the land, the Second Amendment, as you mentioned earlier, it prohibits gun control. And the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Well, that's a rule for government to follow. And they don't follow it anymore. And, in fact, we have about 24,000 gun control laws in America, and all against the law. But we continue to say, oh, no, we're smarter. We're smarter than that now, and we can take care of this a lot better. But you really don't have the right to do that until you change the law. And to disobey the law because you think you're smarter, it still doesn't allow you to break the law.
Well, let's think about this then. The UN has a long, sad history of, well, you wouldn't call it failure because it seems that whatever bad they do is actually a success for them. Like, who donated the land that the UN building was built on again? Wasn't it like John D. Rockefeller, one of the biggest, worst oil men who and global government puppets that's ever lived? And
of course.
Who was the first Secretary General of the UN? Wasn't it some former Nazi party aficionado from Germany who flew over? You know, if it starts off like that, how much better do you think it's ever going to get?
Well, it's like I said earlier, we're headed for a catastrophe in this country and in the world that's going to make the original Great Depression of the 1930s look like kindergarten. I think we're seeing the signs of it in Greece and Spain and Portugal and other places around the world. We're seeing the devastation of droughts and hunger and civil wars that are going on right now, plus other wars. I still don't understand why the United States of America went to Iraq and Afghanistan. They gave about 10 to 12 different reasons for us going there. It was supposed to be retaliation for the attacks on the World Trade Centers of 2001, of 9/11. And then it changed to getting rid of weapons of mass destruction, and then it was to save the people who were being oppressed, and then it was to stop the threat to Israel from some of these other countries, and now we're thinking about going to Iran to do the same thing. We've already invaded Libya without a declaration of war. We're in Iraq and Afghanistan without declarations of war. We're totally violating the law and being there. And Congressman Ron Paul has pointed that out numerous times, and yet he is scoffed at and called a nut by the media and by other politicians, and he was the only one telling the truth. And so I will continue to tell the truth as well. All this information and my books are at sheriffmack.com. Everybody should get some of these tools and read and see the truth for yourself. Share it with your local officials. Our CSPOA.org, we have an organization called the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, where we believe in standing for the principles of freedom that our Constitution protects. So our CSPOA.org website is something else somebody else, everyone should be going to, supporting us in defending our country, in defending liberty and the rights of all people, not just Americans, but all people throughout the world. And this is something that we hope to do. We want to take back our country, take back our Constitution, and get rid of corruption and stupid laws. And we do this by having local officials, especially our sheriffs, who will enforce the law, who will stand up for freedom and protect us from tyranny and out-of-control government. That's what we're about.
It seems about right. And what I find is deeply concerning as well is the amount of lies that are going through the political spectrum. And I'm acting under the assumption, as a former law enforcement official yourself, you'd had a lot of experience in how to spot people who are lying. So watching political speeches must be infuriating for you.
Oh, they really are. And I can't stand to watch Barack Obama on television. He is a 10 times better liar than Bill Clinton was, 10 times better liar than George Bush was, both of them. He's just another guy with an agenda, and he'll sit there and tell you the opposite thing that he said the day before and totally acts like he believes it and totally acts like you should believe it. And so the national debt, he has created this and created more debt in 3.5 years than all the other presidents put together. And yet he's sitting there saying that he's done a great job. It's okay for these idiot politicians to decrease their own salaries if they need to in order to balance the budget. But they never do that. I'm really fed up with all these politicians who continue to spend our money like it was growing on trees. Now the GSA, who has been accused of going and spending all huge amounts of dollars on these conventions, is doing it again right now, and they just gave $44 million in bonuses to their employees. And another employee just got $115,000 in overtime pay, $115,000 in overtime pay. It was more than their salary. And yet they continue to spend money like it grows on trees, and that it's not that the money of the taxpayers is not important. And so the first thing they need to do is they need to cut how many employees they have. They need to cut their salaries, and we need to cut taxes, and we need to cut spending, and we need to stop acting like we're a bunch of crazy drunk sailors when it comes to writing a check.
This is true. And also people need to be looking into who it is that gets killed in our society that's doing the right thing. And apparently, and one of my listeners asked me wanted me to ask you this question, Sheriff, is that, you know, remember when Gabby Lee Giffords was shot and a judge was also killed on that day? Apparently you knew him.
Yeah, I knew him very well. He changed my life. It was Judge John M. Roll. There's a chapter dedicated to him in my book, The Magic of Gun Control, because he fought against gun control, and he stood with me in fighting against gun control. And then the very day that he died was January 8th, 2011, the day that the assassination attempt occurred on Congresswoman Giffords. And he was there. I'm still kind of confused as to why he was there, and there were several reasons given about why he was there, but none of them make sense. But be that as it may, he was a true hero. He was a great, principled man, one of the best judges that we've ever had in American history. And he died jumping in the way of a bullet that was intended for another victim. And that's just kind of the man he was. And I'll forever honor him and be grateful to him. And like I said, he is an integral part of my life and an integral part of my latest book.
And if you wanted to give anybody in law enforcement advice or things of that nature, is there a command structure that's difficult to fight against as just an ordinarily police officer? You know, you've got your lieutenants and detectives and things of that are above you. What should people do if they are a law enforcement official and they see corrupt behavior by their superiors?
Well, they should ask for an investigation, and there's places to go to do that. And you can always ask for an outside investigation. You can always go to a different supervisor and tell them what you saw. No one should stand by and watch corruption continue. You know, a lot of people say, well, I've got to be careful or they'll fire me. Well, if you're that much of a wimp and you're willing to compromise criminality from other government officials in order to keep your job, well, that's just like being another political prostitute. We've got too many political prostitutes already in Washington, D.C. We need to. This is time to stand for what's right. And if you're too much of a wimp to stand for what's right, then just go ahead and collect your money and watch the abuse continue.
Indeed. We'll be talking about more of this after the break with the fabulous Sheriff Richard Mack. You can Google him, ladies and gentlemen, and check out his website. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose that sense of humor, you will go friggin' nuts. We'll be right back.
Never been edible. I'm a cracker, not a vegetable, fed to an extraterrestrial. The beat is so electrical, it'll pump your heart ventricles, but I bet you will eject it if I start getting intellectual. I am not yet credible, so until I can say I'm credible, I'll say that I'm incredible, respectable, and professional. Do you read me? Am I legible? It's time to get down to the question of eventually, will the corruption in the government lead to the collapse of us? Lead to the collapse of us. Lead to the collapse of us. Lead to the collapse. Right and left are symmetrical on the puppet master's tentacles. The two sides are identical. The troops are not ejectable. They're forming a prodigy and making the Jordan come out of me. It's like recording Nostradamus, taking a tour in the prophecy. The real American gangsters make the poor live in poverty.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about keeping it bangster. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. on our AM/FM stations across America and also across New Zealand. And if anybody else is listening to this show from any other part of the world, by all means, if you know of a radio station or an internet radio rebroadcaster or anything like that who you would love to play this show in your particular area, contact them or contact us and give us their details, and we'll see if we can playing. And that's how every single affiliate that this the show has gotten so far has been done, because of you, the listeners. Same with all the financing. Every internet bill that I've ever had, every piece of equipment that I ever needed to buy or anything like that has been paid for specifically with donations from you, the listeners. This show and the fact that we're the biggest alternative platform in New Zealand for any type of conspiracy stuff is partly due to me being there and doing the work every single day, and partly due to you, the listener, for actually taking part and giving us something that we can use to go out and expose a little bit of scumbaggery and give the coverage that is deserved to the people who truly need it, people like my very special guest, Sheriff Richard Mack. Now, what is the thing that actually kind of gets you, and what happened to you to get you into this whole level of thing? Because I talk to a lot of activists all the time, and they've either got the story of I was a part of the system, and then I saw some really bad stuff happening, and then I changed, or I was always this way, and it was inevitable for me to become who I am.
I think it was inevitable that I do this, because I was always interested in government. I was always interested in politics. But I was always interested in honesty and fairness. And the crucial, and I call it a mistake, but I say that kiddingly, but the crucial mistake I made to get out of the mainstream politic was I actually started studying history and our Constitution. If you read and study the Constitution, especially the Bill of Rights, there is no way you can look at what we're doing today and accept it. We're doing opposite what our Constitution said we're supposed to do. If you look at the Bill of Rights and you look at the very First Amendment, first and foremost, that freedom of religion is guaranteed. Well, then we had a county government and city council in Orange County, California, fine a family for having Bible study in their home because it wasn't zoned for Bible study, and that violated another principle of the Bill of Rights, that you have the right to peaceably assemble. And this family, the Flam family, were simply studying the Bible at their home in a peaceful manner with friends, and both are guaranteed by the Constitution. And instead of this family having to get a lawyer and suing to protect what is already theirs and what is already guaranteed by the supreme law of the land, the sheriff or this or the county commissioner or the chief of police should have gone to the Planning and Zoning Commission and said, look, I don't know if you ever read the Bill of Rights, but your stupid policies don't supersede the freedom that we as Americans enjoy in this country and that are guaranteed. And so why don't you just leave this family alone, and I'll tell you what, I'll leave you alone this time. But if you bother people like this again, I'm going to have to bring some charges against you. And you see, if we had that kind of law enforcement, and if we had sheriffs doing that, then freedom would be protected. And another thing that would be protected is the unalienable rights as guaranteed also in the Declaration of Independence, where it states that people have the right to the pursuit of happiness. In other words, I get to do what I want. I get to pursue a career. I get to pursue a business. I get to pursue education. I get to deal with my children and family and friends and neighbors and live in my community and pursue whatever I want to, as long as I'm doing it in a peaceful manner. But when government comes in and starts making their regulations and their policies from bureaucracies more important than the Bill of Rights, then that's going to be the demise and the destruction and the death of America. And that's what we're watching today. And as I was a cop and I was watching some of these things happen, I said, no more. Not for me. Not from where I sit. I'm not going to participate, and I'm not going to go along anymore. And that's really where I made the change.
And how was it different growing up in America when you were a boy to perhaps how children are taught and raised today?
Well, I think there was some similarity even way back then, 45 years ago when I was in high school and grade school. But we were still, there was a lot of things that I think were different. Certainly, you could do a lot more at school. I mean, back then, the problems with school behavior were chewing gum in class or whether or not we had our shirt tail out. Today it's assaults and rapes and drugs and you know what, I growing up I never even saw marijuana. I never knew. I you know, I heard rumors of some kids that maybe used it once in a while, but it was out of the ordinary. And the kids that were drinking, you know, it was every now and again. But, you know, I never did those things. I never went drinking or partying. I never did drugs. And now it's just seems like it's everywhere. And it's really ridiculous that we've allowed our society to become so drug addicted. That's another thing I don't support at all anymore is the drug war. You know, it sounds really good that from politicians and cops to say, "Oh, we're going to get rid of drugs." Well, that's a farce. It's an exercise in futility. They can't do it. They haven't done it, and they never will do it. But it's a great excuse to monitor people and to use wiretaps to check on people. And it's again, it's just another excuse for more government to control our lives. And even though I was an undercover narcotics officer and an undercover agent, I do not support the drug war anymore. It's another infringement on freedom and our rights to live peaceably. So, you know, there's just so many things that government has gotten out of control on, and we need to focus on principles instead of programs and bureaucracies, entitlements, and all the things that basically government does today. Huge salaries, huge retirement plans, all on the backs of the taxpayers. And again, right now, what are our politicians telling us right now? What is Barack Obama telling us right now? That we need more taxes, we need more money, we should bring in more money through taxation, less loopholes for the rich, more taxes for the rich, and, you know, and all this government corruption is being perpetuated. It's amazing that people are buying into this, that we need more money so government can keep all these programs going. Right now, we've had the city of Stockton, California, declaring bankruptcy. Now the city of San Bernardino, California, is declaring bankruptcy. All these cities that were used to spending all the money are now going bankrupt, and it's just a sign of the times. And we have a sheriff in Josephine County, Oregon, who just had to lay off 65 of his deputies and employees because they're running out of money. And still we have the politicians who say, no, we want to keep our salaries and we want to keep our retirement plans. And all of this is not going to be able to continue. We're not going to be able to sustain the kind of spending that we have been used to in this country. And sooner or later, the balloon is going to burst. And when it does, it's going to cause such a humongous problem that that we're not going to be able to deal with them.
Well, let's think about the Depression then, because as far as I know, back then people were far more independent than we are today. Like, they grew their own food on the whole. They knew how to make their own clothes. Yeah. They walked 10 miles a day. Things like that. And you imagine today, no, virtually nobody knows how to make their own clothes. Virtually nobody knows how to grow their own food.
No.
And at the time that the Depression struck, there were 90% of people living in rural areas growing their own food. And today we have 90% of people living in cities and not. And still 10 million people starved to death in the United States. So you can just imagine and try and quantify the amount of chaos and carnage that would come across the people of the United States or the people of the world, because when the United States has a sneeze, the rest of the world gets frickin' cancer. My very special guest, Sheriff Richard Mack, are you able to stay on for an extra hour, mate? Because I hope that's what we're scheduled. But yeah, we'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen, hopefully, with the very fabulous Sheriff Richard Mack. Mac at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. You can join us in the chat room there as well. Plus, we have archives that will be coming up to you right after the show, ladies and gentlemen, so don't you go anywhere. Plus, after the show, we often have a Skype call. So if you want to join us in the chat room at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, after the show ends, we get to have a good chat with all the listeners as well. We'll be right back. Of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio, it's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Man, when you think about the New World Order, you wonder, which country can I escape to in order to avoid it? Not recognizing that it's called a New World Order, and there isn't a single country that exists on Earth that isn't on Earth. So there is no escape. There is only resistance. However, a lot of people are abandoning the United States. In fact, last year, so my producer tells me, and you might be interested to hear this, Sheriff, but I think the average rescinding of U.S. passports is like, what, 10,000 a year or something like that? And then a couple of years back, it skyrocketed to like a million or something like that, something ridiculous. Like, people are getting the frack out. Like, they see what's coming. And the exact same phenomenon I saw happen in pre-World War II Germany, as people started to recognize that all their rights were being taken away and that people were being hauled off for not having the proper papers and things of that nature, being called communist subversives and having no due process, things of that nature. People, especially those with wealth and who were politically aware, basically got the heck out of there for the duration. And now it's happening to the people of the United States. So what's next? Is it now possible in this day and age of communications for us to warn enough people so that a small percentage, just like in the American Revolution, maybe 2, 3, 4%, would be aware and be capable of fighting back and stopping it all?
Well, I believe there is a way to stop all this. I believe there is a solution. I believe there's an answer to all of this, and it's at the local level. My U.S. Supreme Court victory proved just what I had intended it to prove, that the federal government is not our boss. The federal government had no authority to tell me what to do. On the other hand, should we have local officials tell the federal government when they've gone too far? Who is it that is actually in charge of enforcing state sovereignty? Who's supposed to protect and defend the 10th Amendment? States' rights, local autonomy. The federal government is not going to protect those things. They're the ones destroying them. So is there a mechanism within our constitutional republic that requires someone to protect us when the government goes too far? And indeed, the 10th Amendment bears that out, and my Supreme Court victory reinforced that entire principle, that the federal government has certain jobs, certain duties, which are discrete and enumerated within the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8. And anything outside of that enumeration is reserved to the people or to the states. And so the 10th Amendment, that's an exact quote from the 10th Amendment. So the 10th Amendment is the actual law that provides a check and balance on federal authority. And so local officials, county commissioners, boards of supervisors, city council, school boards, sheriffs, and all local officials should be telling the federal government, there's a few things you're not going to be allowed to do here. We're not going to put up with you coming in here and acting like you own our land, our children, our education, health care. You're not in charge of these things. You're not in charge of our land. You're not in charge of our resources. You're not in charge of coal or oil or gold or silver or anything else we want to mine. If Arizona wants to create a new copper mine, that's between the landowner and the people there. The federal government has no business getting involved in that. They have no business owning all our land. They have no business closing roads in forests or any other places where people need egress and ingress. We've allowed these corrupt politicians in Washington, D.C. to take over everything in our lives, to literally run every facet of our lives, and it's simply not true. They're not supposed to have that kind of power or authority. It was never allowed in the Constitution. So then the solution is this, plain and simply, that just as James Madison said, we can safely rely on state legislatures and local governments are part of that to erect barriers against the encroachments of the national authority. Well, it's time we did that. Now, most local officials will say, oh, if we did that, then the federal government's going to withhold funds, and they're going to not pay us money anymore or give us grants or whatever. That was never intended to be in the first place, and all of that money comes from the taxpayers. And for the federal government to pretend, or any local official or governor to pretend, that the federal government has all this free money that's just there for the taking, is wrong. That's immoral. It's wrong, and it's thievery. The people's money should be respected. It should be held sacred, and not spent in frivolous ways to help politicians spread around bribery, so that they can get reelected. And that's all federal funding is for. It's to get reelected and to have these people basically running legal extortion and legal bribery, and so how do we stop all that? You have local officials, sheriffs, county commissioners who tell the federal government, look, you're not going to come in here and confiscate guns. We will not allow that. You're not going to come in here and confiscate land or seize bank accounts or all these other things that the IRS does, that the EPA does, that the FDA does, that the FBI does, the DEA, and on with all these ridiculous agencies. Now we have the TSA that are groping our citizens in airports. All of that is not okay. And the state of Texas almost had a law passed where there would not be any citizen within Texas that would be groped at airports. And then the federal government came in and threatened them that they would shut down the airports. And the state of Texas backed off like a bunch of wimps instead of standing strong like, you know, they said, remember the Alamo. Well, we should remember the Alamo, and the independents fought for it, the Alamo. We're not subject to federal direction. That's an exact quote from my Supreme Court decision. Any of you listening to this program right now can get a copy of my U.S. Supreme Court decision and find out for yourself that the Constitution still is the supreme law of the land, that the way we enforce this is through local people, local officials having the courage and conviction to stand and be counted and quit worrying about who's going to give you some money.
Is that what principles really are backed up by, is the courage to stand up and actually not bow down? It's the insubordination of having a principle that bad scumbags who wish to have all the power, wealth, and control in all the world and not share any of it, that really, really irritate them, because it is so much, basically, if you have principles and you're willing to stand behind them, you always bat above your weight. Like, it will take an extraordinarily powerful bad force in order to overcome you if you're just one person of average means standing up for principle. And that's what the lesson of history always seems to teach, doesn't it? Is that power doesn't get given to you for no reason, essentially. People either instill power in you and give you a monopoly of force, like has happened with the federal government today, or you have proven yourself time and time again to be 100% responsible with anything that you've ever done in your entire life, and people say, hey, you know what, there is a big crisis here, and that person has proved themselves responsible with power, so let's give it to them, and then that person actually uses that power for a responsible reason. However, what's happening now in politics and all forms of recruitment, whether that be recruitment for the police, the military, things of that nature, it's talking about bringing you in, giving you power, but not the responsibility anymore, not the principles, not the courage. Those kind of things have fallen by the wayside. And as a direct result, you have things that are out of control, because principles, and I think standing up for your constitution, is specifically about restraint of power. And that's all that it really ever is, making sure that nobody can do something that's bad to somebody else, or at least in principle. I think that's the general rule of thumb, isn't it?
Well, it is. And again, I want to really emphasize what we have done to bring about positive solutions to all of these problems facing America today. We have got to do this at a local level, at the grassroots level. There's no hope in Washington, D.C. to take back our freedom and to get all these bureaucracies off our backs. But there is hope in dealing with a few local officials. And that's what we're doing. We're having a convention of constitutional sheriffs and county commissioners and chiefs of police and peace officers in Las Vegas on September 17th, which happens to be Constitution Day, the day we celebrate the signing of our Constitution. And there's a lot of historical significance to all of this, but what I would recommend is everybody listening to the program, get involved with this process. See what we're doing. Go to cspoa.org. Make a donation. Become a member. Join us in this holy cause of liberty. There really is a solution. And we are dedicating our lives to this holy cause of liberty. We're dedicating our lives to bringing back our Constitution and to getting government under control and putting government where it was supposed to be. And this is not an effort in any way to promote violence, to hurt anybody. In fact, quite the contrary. I know for a fact if we have sheriffs and local officials standing against the incursions of the federal government, again, that's a quote from my decision, standing against the incursions of the federal government, that we're going to keep this process peaceful and that we will protect the rights of the people, just as our Constitution requires us to do. And we all swore an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution. Why don't we try keeping that oath for a while? Why don't we keep our word? Why don't we keep our oath? This is a sacred, solemn oath that we swear to before we can take our jobs as public officials. So why don't we actually try, maybe just for the next year, let's try it for 1 year, that all local officials enforce the Bill of Rights and not allow anybody to violate the Bill of Rights or the individual God-given rights of the people in our counties. And just put up a sign. We will protect the liberty of every individual in this county. We have a very brave sheriff who did this out in Indiana, Sheriff Brad Rogers. He told the FDA to leave an Amish farmer alone who they were attacking because he would not pasteurize his milk. Well, just so you know, pasteurized milk is not very good for you. It destroys all the enzymes and vitamins that are naturally in milk that really are very healthy for human beings. But now they go in and they burn the milk, and the Amish farmers don't do that because they don't believe in the technology involved in pasteurizing milk. So this Amish farmer, who's a very peaceful, loving man, good Christian man, believes that it's okay to put cows out to pasture and let them eat grass, and then he brings them in and milks them, and that he actually uses that milk to share with family and friends and people who wish to purchase that wholesome product. The FDA wants to arrest him for that. And so finally he called the sheriff and he said, "Sheriff, I'd sure like to be protected from the government." And so the sheriff came in and told the FDA officials that if they came back to harass this man without due process, without a signed warrant, that he would arrest him for trespassing. Well, then the FDA threatened to arrest this good sheriff. And he called me and he said, hey, what can we do to, maybe make him back off? And I said, well, let's prepare a response. And so Sheriff Rogers and I prepared a response to the FDA. And we told them about the Constitution. We reminded them about some Supreme Court cases, including my own. And showed them what the Supreme Court said in Lopez versus U.S. We also showed them what the New York versus U.S. decision said. We showed them what Bond versus U.S. said and Mack versus U.S., my case. And we sent that off to them. And 3 days later, David Hostetler, the Amish farmer in question, received a certified letter telling him that the grand jury inquiry into what he was doing was dropped and that they would not be proceeding against him. Well, you see, what if we had, I got to ask you and your listeners, what if we had hundreds of sheriffs doing that sort of thing all across the country? Do you know what we would have? We would have American liberty restored. And that is exactly what we are trying to do within our CSPOA convention and organization, Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. We are working hard. Like I say, we've dedicated our lives to this holy cause, to this cause of liberty. And we're trying to remind sheriffs and other peace officers and public officials that the Constitution is still the supreme law of the land, and that it's more important to keep your oath than it is to try to get money from the federal government.
In other words, it's better to keep your oath than keep your job.
Exactly that, too. Job and or money. They're both one and the same in a lot of ways. And, yes, it's more important to stand for principle, to stand for freedom, than it is to get a paycheck, especially if it comes for the federal government. And to keep getting money from the federal government, acting like it's the federal government's money, is a lie. It's immoral. That money belongs to the people of the United States. That's taxpayer money. It's not the politician's money.
Yeah, and it's certainly the money of the arms manufacturers and things of that nature, because I've seen a whole lot of sheriffs and departments and stuff like that all over the United States getting all these new Glocks in and things like that, when they've been using the same revolvers for 10, 20 years or something like that, that shoot fine, shoot straight, they don't need anything more, but the federal government comes in and says, hey, here's all this money, boys, and all we want in exchange for all this extra money and all this extra firepower that you don't really need is for you to violate the rights of the people within your county. Okay? Okay, thank you very much. Good business deal there. Not constitutional. We'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen, at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. You can also join us in the chat room there. And also, search Vinnie Eastwood on Facebook. You'll love it. Thank you.
I got some so-called friends. My right to my face, all when my back is turned. They like to bury me without a trace. Oh no, no. Oh no, no. There's only one thing I need to know. Whose side are you on? I'm flying a JFK.
Ladies and gentlemen, you listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And also listen to the homepage on VinnieEastwoodShow.com. And the chat room there as well. And I think Wolf Spirit Radio sometimes broadcasts. There's a whole bunch of places out there. There's an affiliates list at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Check it out. There should be some place where you can listen to it. My very special guest, Sheriff Richard Mack. Now, usually towards the end of the program, I try to ask every guest this question. You know how to some degree people sort of self-censor a little bit, you know, for one reason or another, you don't say certain things, particularly on talk radio or on TV, because you're not 100% sure whether or not the audience will quite comprehend you, or whether the host might judge you and kind of turn it all confrontational and what have you. So I like to offer everybody the opportunity to just kind of say something along those lines, if you feel it's necessary, that you wouldn't ordinarily say, because here's the place where the audience is pretty bright and they will comprehend you, and this host is the one who won't judge you.
No, there's nothing like that. I call them as I see them. I don't hold back. Certainly, I hope you've seen by now that I don't hold back, that I'm the same in person as I am on the radio or television. And, you know, I've through our conversation tonight and during this interview, I have been very forthright in saying that America is not just on the wrong path, but we're headed towards devastation, a huge catastrophe, that we're looking at the death of America, and we are. If we continue on the same path that we are right now, we are on a path that is absolutely unsustainable. We have allowed to have in our White House a man who does not care about American ideals. He does not follow our Constitution. He is a socialist, if not a communist. I'm not afraid to say that to him or to anyone else. He espouses policies that hundreds of thousands of soldiers in this country have died for. To stop. He is the antithesis of American ideals. He believes that government should take care of us from birth to death, just like he put out on the internet with the girl named Julia. That and another thing you were talking about is the difference between today's education and today's America and when I was a kid. Well, this is something my wife and I were talking about just recently, because we have several of our children in school, and they've got student loans. Well, my son is already, he still has a couple of years left in school, and he's already $50,000 in debt. I was not in debt when I got out of school. I graduated from college. I worked a couple of jobs. I got a couple of scholarships. Then my father also helped me a little bit, I'm certainly willing to help my children, even though that they're all married and grown up. I'm still willing to help them somewhat too. But now it's college costs so much, and to really be able to put yourself in there, I mean, it costs $15,000 to $25,000 a semester to go to school. I believe that the grant process has increased the cost of college education. I believe that they make it so easy to get in debt. By the time my son starts working, he's probably going to be in debt $80,000 to $100,000, he won't be able to afford a home. While he's paying off all that debt, you're paying off $100,000 debt there, and then try to buy a $200,000 home. I mean, that's like having two homes. The whole thing just, to me, is completely opposite of where we're supposed to be. We've got to find a solution. And where I guarantee you that solution does not exist, it does not exist in Washington, D.C. I think history is saturated with example after example that Washington, D.C. is providing no solution, that the people of this country can no longer depend upon the leadership of Washington, D.C. politicians. I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican, that they will actually be honorable, that they will follow the law, that they will uphold and defend the Constitution, that they will put principles before politics. I don't believe there's maybe but three or four people in all of Washington, D.C. that have any principles in their character or have the best interest in of Americans at heart. I've been around it a lot, and I get more and more dismayed by the American political system because it is run by dishonest crooks in Washington, D.C., and many times in the state capitals. And so where do we take it back? County by county, sheriff by sheriff, and state by state. And if we don't get this going and moving in our counties and cities locally, then I think we are completely doomed. We have no recourse. We have no alternative.
I see the worst case scenario as the martial law type scenario where they've loading up everybody into these FEMA camps that they've got positioned all around the United States with the double fencing and the barbed wire facing inwards, giant oven machines and all this kind of stuff. You know,
it
really could be like Red Dawn scenario out there. And people don't realize just how close we are to that kind of thing becoming an everyday reality that people will have to deal with.
Yeah, exactly.
Hence the urgency.
Yeah, exactly. And there is a lot of urgency. Time is of the essence. I don't believe we have much time left. There is no way that America is going to survive another 4 years of Barack Obama policies. His policies simply are not American. And socialism has never worked. Communism has never worked. And our Constitution was devised and developed to specifically prevent socialistic democracy or communistic democracy. And the propaganda of today is that somehow democracy is synonymous with freedom. And it simply is not. And it never has been. And you will not see the word democracy in any of our foundational documents. The Founding Fathers did not talk about risking their lives and fortunes and sacred honor to establish another democracy. But you will see the word constitution a lot. You will see the word republic, and that every state is guaranteed a republican form of government. And it's all based on power emanating from we the people. And so, man, oh man, we've got to turn this around, and we've got to do it very quickly.
And what I find interesting is that it's a big problem, right? And even with a small handful of people just attacking the problem in their own way, you find that it actually has an immense amount of effect. And yet, a lot of people just kind of sit back and they think, oh man, it's too big for me to do anything about. I'm going to sit back and do nothing. And surprisingly enough, they have no effect at stopping it. You know?
Well, yeah.
Because there's a lot of victories. Every time you actually do something at all, there becomes a victory. And I was also wondering, I mean, from your experience, did you actually live through the era where presidents stopped using the word republic, stopped using the word constitution, and started using the word democracy? Or had that been well in full swing by the time you were born?
I remember it as long as I've been around. I believe the word constitution was used a lot more when I was growing up. But democracy was still the key word. I think it's been a long time that we've been brainwashed with the democracy of propaganda. And that's what it is. It's propaganda. And I must tell you, though, at the bottom of the hour, I'm going to need to get off. I've got another radio show I've got to get ready for, and I apologize for that. But I've got another show coming up real quick, and I do want to thank you for the time that you've allowed me to be on, and I appreciate the support from the people who listen to your show. And again, I want to urge everyone, join us in this solution. There is a solution, but we've all got to be part of it. We can't stand by and act like this freedom thing and the liberty movement is a parade. You can't stand on the sidelines cheering other people on. You've got to get in there and step up to the plate yourself and be part of the game, be part of the process, and do something yourself. Everybody that's within the sound of my voice tonight and right now, and anybody who will see this on the internet later, you've got to get in the game. You've got to do something, one thing. This today, tomorrow, within the next 24 hours. You've got to do something about liberty and standing steadfast in what Patrick Henry called the holy cause of liberty. If you get involved, we have a chance. If you are just going to pat others on the back as they go forward to protect your liberty, then there's no way we can win this. No way.
It's a team effort, in other words. And yes. If you're not the one doing the training, if you're not the one blocking, passing, and being part of that mechanism that fights back, then you're not helping anybody. You're certainly not helping yourself. And it's not like we want to guilt trip you or anything like that. We instead want you to realize, ladies and gentlemen, just how much of a huge effect you can have by putting in a minimal amount of effort, okay? Think about the word democracy and how many decades and decades it took for them to get over that idea of a republic and a constitution. It took them 100 years. And yet here now, inside of a couple of years, we're starting to bring it back. That's how powerful truth, liberty, freedom, and bravery truly is, especially when it's up against something that's as pathetic as scumbaggery. Sheriff Richard Mack, thank you so much for coming on the show with me today. My absolute honor and a pleasure. We've only got about maybe 4 minutes left in the segment or anything like that. If you have to leave now, go for your life. But other than that, I'd be appreciative of anything else you'd say.
Well, I just want to thank you for having me on. I really have a good time doing these types of shows. I do them all the time, all across the country. I think we are making some headway. I really do. We have sheriffs that are coming on board with our CSPOA, our Constitutional Sheriff and Peace Officer Association. We're working on that right now. We're still raising funds for that. So, again, everybody, you can order my books at sheriffmack.com, or you can donate to the Constitutional Sheriff and Peace Officer Association at cspoa.org. C as in Charlie, S as in Sam, P as in Paul, O as in Oscar, A as in Adam, .org, cspoa.org. And if anybody would like to contact me, my email is sheriffmack@hotmail.com. I answer all my own emails. I get about 1,200 a day that I have to sort through. But if you send me an email, I will answer your questions. And this is a team effort. And you're so right. There's another thing you were very right about. You've got to keep your sense of humor about you, or this whole thing will drive you crazy. So I try to do that, too. But I've enjoyed very much being with you and your audience tonight. In final analysis, if we all get involved in this movement for freedom and liberty and restoring our Constitution and taking back our country, we will be successful. But if we sit back and expect somebody else to do it all, then you might as well just wait to what's going to happen, because it's going to happen and it's going to be catastrophic.
Because sitting back and waiting for somebody else to take care of your problems is the reason why we're in this frickin' problem in the first place.
That's absolutely correct. Yep.
For fuck's sake.
So.
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you, Sheriff Richard Mack, for all your time and all the fabulous work that you do. And what I'm going to do for you, just part of my own special thing, I'm going to put you on the featured interviews page of the VinnieEastwoodShow.com alongside George Norrie and G. Edward Griffin and Sean David Morton and all these other big, fabulous names that we've had on the show, because you're just so marvelous.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. That's quite a compliment. And thanks to everybody who's been listening tonight. And God bless you. And again, if you have any questions, get a hold of me and do something. Do something for freedom within the next 24 hours. Do something. So we're certainly doing it on our end, and we will continue to do so.
And everybody's got a speciality, a talent, or something like that. Doesn't matter whether you're a butcher, a baker, a candlestick maker, or a cameraman, or a microphone beating down the door type crazy person like me. Everybody can contribute. Do you think any of us, like me or Richard, would be able to do any of the stuff that we've been doing without huge amounts of support from people just doing one little thing, giving us $5, $10, or sending an email to somebody else for us, or taking the pressure off? Mate, it really is a team effort. And when you put yourself on the battlefield, you realize just how many people are at your side, and it's very encouraging as soon as you take that first step.
Thanks so much again. Appreciate you having me on.
All right. Sheriff Richard Mack, ladies and gentlemen. So have yourself a very nice day. And final segment coming up, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you enjoy what I'm going to be talking about next, about the New Zealand situation, how it actually relates to everything Sheriff Richard Mack has been talking about during the precursor of the show. Back in a minute. Side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humor, you will go friggin' nuts. Have you noticed whenever anybody tries to attack an existing system that's oppressing them, you know, like Sheriff Richard Mack does, kind of thing, you know, you got this whole problem with irresponsible politicians spending everybody's money to attacking everybody's individual rights and liberties and so forth. The solution to this is simply to make all the lies truth. Okay, think about this. You have free elections. Huge lie. All you have to do is just make that lie into something that's actually becomes true, and then you've solved the problem. That's the thing about it. As well as independence, okay? The only way that evil scumbags have any power over you is if you are dependent on them, if you're incapable of defending yourself against them. Let's think about this. Energy cartels, and every country's really got one, whether you be living in India, who's experiencing massive blackouts and things of that nature at the moment with a terrible grid down, or whether you're in New Zealand that's now having half of our power grids sold off to private scumbags affiliated probably with the World Bank and Goldman Sachs, or whether you happen to be in the United States where new power stations are actually being shut down in order to force more pressure on the grid so they can make more money as a cartel. This is what an energy cartel does. So when you've got your power supply that's dependent on the energy cartel, they've got the power over you. There is, I think it's like 123/power.com, 123/power.com. It's being advertised on AmericanFreedomRadio.com at the moment. So if you cruise in there and you listen to the presentation that this guy's done, you recognize it's actually incredibly easy to generate your own electricity, your own power, and then suddenly you're no longer dependent on them. Not only are you not dependent on them, but they can't come into your place and make you dependent, because he also teaches you how to maintain and protect and replace and repair any kind of things that might go wrong with your energy generation. So one time, one person did one thing to gain their own independence, and they completely destroy an entire apparatus of power lines, grids, everything, everywhere. They completely subvert it. In such a simple and short fashion, one person has gotten out of the dependence of at least the electricity. So, get one individual off the dependence of electricity. What other forms of dependence do we have now? In New Zealand here, we're all dependent on supermarkets to a large degree, especially in urban areas, for our food. If those supermarkets were to shut down, where would you go and get your food from? A lot of people would have no idea. Personally, I have chickens I can eat, and I can catch ducks and things of that nature, so I'd be able to eat something. But I'm a kind of a freak in terms of an urban dweller, where I've actually lived on farms and been out in the bush on occasions and stuff like that. I haven't been hunting or anything like that, other than shooting a few turkeys on my sister's boyfriend's farm. But other than that, mate, you'd be really, really screwed if the supermarkets were closed down tomorrow. So that is how you're dependent on that as well. If you become independent with your food supply, if you are capable of producing at least enough to survive off on your small properties, and this is possible today, if you've got a bookshelf, for instance, and you have canned food, and you've eaten the canned food and you've got these empty cans, you do know that you can just fill those cans with soil and put them on the bookshelf and next to a window, and you have yourself actually quite a large amount of plants and food that you can grow indoors. All you got to do is just water it. You've got layers and layers of this. And in fact, somebody this has become incredibly popular in Japan, particularly because they're all living in apartments, I assume, but that is something you can do. Boom, you've got a little bit of more food independence, and then you've got a little bit more expendable income. What about the other side of the energy cartel, like petrol and things of that nature? Well, as it turns out, there's a friend of mine who broadcasts the show in Hamilton named Roy Harlow. And he has created a furnace that you can get recyclable plastics and things of that nature. You put them in there, heats them up to about 500 degrees or something of that nature, and compresses them, filters them, and turns it into real proper diesel that you can put right into your truck. Okay? You can even, as the Greek was telling us on the call yesterday, that you can actually put like something like 15% water in with your normal petrol without really even having to do anything, and your car will still go. And this is something that people don't understand, that you can, in short successive steps, become almost completely independent of the entire New World Order apparatus by using a little bit of innovation and a little bit of hard work. Okay? That's what they don't want you to do, because then you have all this expendable income. And you'll have all this free time as well. Imagine if people had expendable income and free time. Imagine how ticked off they'd be able to be now, and imagine how much action they would now be able to take against the people who are running their countries into the ground. That's what I'm talking about. Once you become independent, you then start to notice what other people have happened to them, right? Sometimes, other times not. Sometimes people are just middle class and I'm taking care of my stuff and et cetera, and I'm going to have to make sure that every bubble that everybody else wants to pop remains completely intact, and I'm going to live inside it for the rest of my freaking life. I'm going to get a massive mortgage. I'm going to have a trophy bride, and it's going to be just so freaking fabulous that I can't believe it. Come on, mate. Look, that's not reality. That everybody wants a nice house, a nice car, and a nice missus. You're not special. Being able to have those things used to be kind of possible, you know? But now, if you've got $50,000, $100,000 worth of debt straight after getting out of university, having a house ain't really that much of an option. Unless, of course, you want to be in debt for the last 60 years of your life as well as the first 30. Come on. This whole system is designed to make you dependent and an indentured servant to it. And you can free yourself from its many, many tendrils, but you kind of have to focus on them one at a time. It's not easy. Just getting out of the workforce, for example, is difficult enough. Trying to find enough money to survive without having to subject yourself to putting on a uniform and saying yes sir and punching in the clocks and having to leave your nice comfortable home every day to go to a job you hate, working for scumbags who don't respect you, selling crap to people that poisons them. Okay, just getting out of that one situation alone, that's a biggie. So the system has a huge amount of controls over us, and yet they're actually quite easy to beat. So long as you just think about doing them one at a time. And once each and every single one of those things is knocked out, then you start to realize that your power as a person and your independence goes up, so does your individual power, your self-confidence, and you actually become a lot more effective individual if you're not worrying about all these ways in which you're dependent. That's why the government is capable of getting away with virtually nothing if you have a well-educated, well-to-do and honest and brave society. They can't really enslave them, because any time that they stick their neck out and go, hey, we're going to sell everything off to the globalists, everybody just goes, oi, oi, no, you scumbag. Engaging a little bit of scumbaggery. Let's put him in jail. Put him in jail right away. Boom, gone. Law enforcement is something of a quagmire, I've found, in modern society, because at the same time that all these laws are created, and they're not even laws or whatever, they're just statutes, they don't actually have any real weight unless you agree that they do, They're being enforced left, right, and center. People don't know what those laws are until they break them and get fined for them, okay? Like my girlfriend, it was funny, she lied to me because she doesn't like how I drive or whatever, you know, with one hand up on the steering wheel and whatever. She wants me to have the two hands on the steering wheel. So she lied to me and she told me that there was a law that means I can be pulled over and given a $150 fine unless my hands are both on the steering wheel. Oh my God, this is just tyrannical. This is and she was lying to me. All right, because it was so tyrannical a lie, I believed it. And you know what's funny? I can guarantee you that probably next year they will pass a law like that. You know, it doesn't actually matter how bad the tyranny is currently, because you know that it's going to get worse consistently and more the more dependent on the system you are and the less capable of protecting yourself from these scumbags. Okay? That's why you don't talk to police at all. Don't, you know, telling them your name and address, I'm not sure if I'd want to do that. It's scary, man. As in, there's a lot to learn. Do things one at a time. Right? Don't overburden yourself. If somebody sends you 10,000 emails, don't look at them all. You're not gonna, are ya? You'll probably reject most of them because it's just too much all at one time. One thing at a time. One step is what it takes to start a journey of 1,000 miles. All you got to do is figure out which step you feel like taking today. Okay? Take some personal responsibility, and as you take more and more responsibility on for yourself and your family, you become inexorably more powerful. So thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. And also, if you would like to join the After the Show chat that we'll be having in just a few minutes, you can join us in the Vinnie Eastwood Show chat room. And if you put your Skype name in there, we'll be adding you to the calls as well. Thank you so much to my guest as well, Sheriff Richard Mack, wherever he is. I'm sure he's exposing a little bit of scumbaggery. And also, the archives will be on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, AmericanFreedomRadio.com, GorillaMedia.co.nz, and on the YouTube channel, Mr. News, Guerrilla Media. All links to those places will be available from the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Please, if you can, donate and support the show, or go to the homepage and subscribe for $5, $10, $20 a month. If you can spare anything to make sure that the truth gets out there, please do. But if you don't, I'll still keep working at it anyway. That's my promise. See you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. Have a fabulous day.